It is the eternal struggle between what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, what's gray, what's white, and what's black. And the problem is the people that are applying the pressure and have the leverage right now feel like they're more powerful than the people that can bring the truth to the light.
Governments are instituted among men. You're not here to feed me, to clothe me, to be my doctor, or to be my choice and make my choices for me, for my health choices, for me and my family. Leave me alone.
To understand, it's these robed ones that are blocking all this truth from coming forward in our world. Okay, and we have to take control of this peacefully and use the knowledge that we have powerfully as a collective, and we'll get it done.
If you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your health and your immunities, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight illnesses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe. As long as you're taking a high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. This is the magic. When you free up your body's resources from fighting free radicals, they then can focus their attention on healing. Every person has different needs, but the magic begins when your body can start to heal. So now it becomes clear you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with flaxseed oil and curcumin. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful. Also available by diffuser with ultra refined C60 oil to safely get directly into your lungs. It's also the best way to help your family pets by just being in the same room. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have an amazing group of people coming today to talk about freedom. I have a round table. We're in a pretty serious time right now in our country, which all of my listeners know. And so we have just great people. I have Dr. Joe Nieuwsma coming. I have Sheriff Mack. Everybody knows Sheriff Mack. And I have Christopher James. And then I have Terry McDonald, who I think you will all like what he has to say. And we are today going to address freedom from all multiple different areas and what we can do and how we can all start to make a difference and take back this country, take back the tyranny, or what we can do to protect our own families. And it is a really important discussion, and these are the discussions we need to be having all over the world, all over the country, in kitchens and everywhere, so that people all start getting engaged. And I also want to remind you that Sheriff Mack, his CSPOA fund, he talks about what he needs. He needs $4 to $5 million to be able to do it immediately and get people out there. Really, really hope there are people with more money, people who have cryptocurrencies and have made millions. Please consider giving some donations to Sheriff Mack and some sizable ones. I know even $5 makes a difference. So everybody who does that, thank you. But for those of you who have some money, you know our country's on the line. Please consider giving him some more sizable donations so that we can make a difference long term for this country. Let's get into our roundtable discussion now. Welcome, everybody. It's such a pleasure to have so many talented people here today joining me. We got the great Sheriff Mack. We got our freedom fighter, Christopher James, and we got Dr. Joe Nieuwsma, who is just amazing. And then we got Terry McDonald, who is going to share with us some of the local efforts he's doing with freedom. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here for you, Sarah.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Well, I am just enamored with all of you. And I want to start with Dr. Joe, because there's so many things we can talk about, and we could look at any angle and start from any angle. But I want to talk to Dr. Joe because, just start it, it doesn't matter. But we have these vaccines that are being forced upon us. And I mean, to the point where in Europe or in England, they're saying that health workers, mandatory, they have to do it. There's places in the United States and Canada where you have to do it. But they're also doing the, in England, I just read, they're doing the vaccine passport to even get into concerts. It's a point where they're making everybody do it. But the concern is they have treatments that are very effective, very inexpensive, that have no side effects to speak of, but yet they're doing a vaccine that's not proven. And so it's very concerning, but it also builds on what you've been doing for years, because you worked in the pharmaceutical industry for a long time, and you are working diligently to get people off of drugs and into a more healthier regime, and people are getting are healthier without having all these drugs. Can you talk about this vaccine scenario and how it ties into what you do and how you see what's going on?
Sure. Sir, I got to tell you, your questions are getting longer and longer with every time I'm on your show. But vaccines is a tool in a toolbox. And you did say exactly what needed to be said. There are plenty of therapies out there that aren't getting the press. Actually, they're getting suppressed, that are very effective at fighting this particular virus. This particular virus, in terms of numbers, didn't have the death toll that it was projected to have. So they changed the narrative to positive cases, and then they're making the positive cases out to be the devil. And even with positive cases, the majority of those are completely recoverable. Now, there are some specific cases called long haulers that have this infection and still have lingering effects months later. But the fact of the matter is there are therapies out there, and Dr. Andreas Klacker is doing wonderful work over in Europe with chlorine dioxide. Chlorine dioxide is the easy, inexpensive, non-toxic way to beat any virus, not just COVID or COVID-19. It's any virus. And I have his latest review article that I'm happy to share with anybody who emails me, and you'll give contact information later, that gives a protocol that they've tested in Ecuador on hundreds of humans, and they get exquisitely easy, clear, succinct cure results. The vaccine is a tool in the toolbox that the people that are selling the fear have their hands in the pockets of. I think, I'm not positive on this, but I think Fauci is a part owner in Moderna, which is one of the big three vaccines. So that's why the people that have the grandest stage is saying vaccine, 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 because they benefit from it monetarily. Now, I know good people that work for Johnson & Johnson, and I know good people that work for AstraZeneca, and I know good people that work for all of these companies that are doing this work with the vaccines. But you hit it right. They are still experimental. They're provisionally approved by the U.S. FDA. That means that they have not gone through the full testing regimen that is supposed to be conducted on drugs before they're approved in the United States. So that's what you have when you're talking about the vaccine. The way I approach it, when people I love in my inner circle that are closest to me ask me, what do you think about the vaccine? I go and I say, it has to be a risk-benefit analysis with you in mind, a personal risk-benefit analysis. Yep. What's your exposure strategy, what's your exposure potential, and does it make sense for you? You're rolling the dice. It's a risk.
Yeah, especially so, when there's treatment, right?
I can go on. But
I know you can, and I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk to Sheriff Mack, because we are seeing what Dr. Joe's talking about. We are seeing craziness going on. And I know I've had Dr. Joe on about masks, and there's been peer-reviewed studies showing that it doesn't make a difference. And we have this vaccine issue, which is human rights. The European Council came out, which has 47 countries as part of the European Council. And I don't believe England is part of it, because they're doing weird stuff that doesn't make sense. I got to check that. If anybody knows it, correct me if I'm wrong. But the European Council said that mandatory vaccines is a human right to not have to take a vaccine. You shouldn't be pressured. You shouldn't be discriminated against. None of that when it comes to vaccines. Now, they're pro. They want people to take it, which, you know, whatever. They kind of have to be that way. But they say it's a human right. We're sitting in a situation where not only vaccines, but we're seeing lockdowns. We're seeing businesses being shut down when the big companies are flourishing. We're seeing incredible assaults on our freedoms. And they're also going after the sheriffs themselves. There was a county in Oregon in Seattle that voted to remove, to appoint the sheriff versus having them be voted in because they don't like sheriff being answerable to the people. How do you see us with all these freedom issues, with our basic human rights being eroded? What's our solution there and how do you see that?
Well, there's going to be a lot more attacks on sheriffs and there's already been a lot against the sheriffs nationwide. And I could recount those and recount numerous times where that has happened. Suffice it to say that the state of Connecticut about 20 years ago got pretty fed up with all these sheriffs and voted the office out. Literally voted the office out of existence. And so there are no more sheriffs in Connecticut. Gone. Why would they care? What does it matter if you have sheriffs? Well, it was just as you alluded to, Sarah, because the sheriffs answered directly to the people instead of to another bureaucrat or to another political body. And that is what's unique about what we do at the CSPOA. We train the nation and we train peace officers and we train sheriffs to understand their role in our constitutional republic. When tyrants, as we've seen all across our country right now, big time, tyrants hate other public officials that actually serve and protect the people and answer to the people, which is what makes us a republic in the first place, that the people are in charge. Right now, that is not true. It's all authoritarian control. It's all self-appointed dictators in this country. And I just did an interview with a guy from Columbus, some newspaper out there. I am so fed up with the fear-mongering and the brainwashing that government is here to take care of us. Exactly. The only thing they're supposed to do is protect our liberty and guarantee that. Now let me take points here. First, we hear all this political jive about we want unity and we want civility. Really? That would be impossible and will always be impossible without one thing, that both sides and all sides agree with one simple thing. The Bill of Rights are sacred and we cannot touch them. In other words, the list of untouchables that the founding fathers left us is exactly what they intended. These are the rules a la Magna Carta from 1215. These are the rules that government cannot touch, cannot violate, cannot remove, can't even discuss it. But yet we hear again, of course, they want to add to the already 20,000 gun control laws in America, that because there are numerous gun control laws are not sufficient. Well, they never will be until they take them all. When they have complete gun confiscation, which is where they're headed. They've been headed that way for a long time, but especially now, they're going there more. The other one is this. Did any of us in America, regardless of your race, or your creed, or your color, what religion you are, or what religion you are not, how you believe, or what you don't believe, or that you care to believe anything. Regardless of who you are in America, we're all welcome here, and we're all a part of America. We're United States of America citizens, residents, whatever you want to call yourself, we're part of America. Now, did any of us ever think that this land of the free and the promise that our founding fathers left us of equality, the notion that we're all created equal, that our civil rights and our civil liberties would be also sacred here, which is also connected to the Bill of Rights, that those fundamental God-given natural rights, the rights we got from nature, that they would be so weak and unstable and flexible as for our president and governors and mayors to tell us, oh yeah, your civil rights are great and we love liberty in this country, but we will destroy every bit of it and we will take it away from you and destroy our Constitution anytime we damn well please, as long as we can say there's an emergency or there's a catastrophe or there's a pandemic. What right could possibly be maintained and secured and guaranteed as long as government can say all of it goes away as soon as there's a crisis of the day?
Exactly.
And my Supreme Court decision actually addresses that was released in 1997 when Scalia said, our Constitution protects us from the crisis of the day. And now that our politicians are actually misusing that, destroying that, and taking advantage of that, and exploiting the fear-mongering and this pandemic to completely coincide with their authoritarian communist-socialist takeover of America. That's what this has all been used for. I really would like what Dr. Joe said. Every sheriff in this country, every peace officer in this country should protect our right to make our own health choices. And obviously our government doesn't even believe that we should make a choice of for ourselves whether or not to wear a seatbelt. This whole mentality of government's job to protect us from our own selves, protect us from our own choices, our own appetites, our own free will. They want to protect us from that. Sorry, government, that is not your job and not your role. Your only job is right out of the Declaration of Independence, and I quote, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. You're not here to feed me, to clothe me, to be my doctor, or to be my choice and make my choices for me, for my health choices, for me and my family. Leave me alone.
Love that. That's absolutely right. And, you know, Naomi Wolf, who's a really great writer, she and a thinker, she came out recently and said we're in step 10 towards tyranny, and that they're using this crisis to take over and create an authoritarian government. I want to talk to you. Yeah, and that's what you're saying. I want to ask Christopher, you have a different look at it. And you're saying that the reason, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, you're in Canada, so it's a little bit different perspective, but similar all throughout the world. And the reason why we're struggling with basic human rights is because there has been a fraud put upon the people in how we look at the United States as a government versus a corporation. They've incorporated the countries and then made us into employees, if you will, and have to follow rules instead of our God-given rights. And we signed up into that without our knowledge. And that is why they're getting away with it. Where we all, and I've talked to a person with the United Nations, and he was telling me about the right of self-determination, and international law is supposed to be, we all have the right of self-determination, which has been usurped. Can you explain what the right of self-determination is and how we lost that, how we need to get that back so that we can have Sheriff Mac running, you know, the sheriffs doing what they need to do. We can have the Dr. Joes, you know, protecting and making sure we're healthy. What is going on there?
Well, thank you very much, Sarah, for having me on here today. And it's a pleasure to meet and see Richard and Joe here, as well as Terry. It's very simple. There's no separation actually between our borders. Yes, things that you're referring to on paper, well, yes, they're very different in our country. They're in different every country in the world. The first word I would like to drill down on is the word law. Okay. When the word law is being used, well, whose law are you talking about here? We're not talking about laws here with respect to everybody here that's on this panel. We're talking about policy that's been written by service corporations that call it law. See, people don't understand the difference between lawful and legal. And this is the big problem and why we've got to this position. I wish to God, this is what I've been advocating in Canada here for many years to the chief of police here, is that you guys need to be elected. You know, that's the role model. I mean, which the light that you shone from the United States is incredible for the world, is that when the sheriffs are elected, and that's what I first started to learn about what Sheriff Mac was doing, was incredible. He's actually standing up and he's protecting the people. And that's why all government was created, to protect the property of man, full stop. So I'm going to share with everybody something very simple. Three things I'm going to state here. First and foremost, service corporations do not write laws. Full stop. All right. That's the first thing everybody needs to understand. Secondly, in any interaction that you're dealing with somebody, doesn't matter if it's a policeman, a fireman, a doctor, a man acting for a politician for these service corporations, it's very simple. Either that man claims that I'm property, or I have a contract with him, an obligation, where I've relinquished my rights, where whatever comes out of his mouth or whatever he puts pen to paper applies to me, again, trespassing upon my rights. Or if he doesn't have that, then if there's no obligation or contract, then that man or woman that I'm interacting with, they have no jurisdiction. That means control over me. And that's uniform right across this world. So when you're talking international law, the first question you always have to say, when someone's saying law, they're referencing something, you have to say, whose law are you talking about here? Okay, when you talk about human rights, you know, human is a color. It's another form of division here. You know, the common law is the law that's unwritten between our fellow man and woman. It came from our creator. We all know on this call here and our millions of people around this world, the difference between right and wrong, and that we don't trespass against another man or woman, and we don't administrate their property without right. And it's that simple. And this is what's gaining speed right now here in Canada. There's a group, Police on Guard for Thee. His name's Len Fall, who's come out. And they're doing some great work now. They're starting to tell people that the police officers are going to be held accountable for what they're doing. This is a past retired inspector of the Toronto Police Department. Okay, so he's a very high level ranking man. And they've got about 20,000 people, I think, now that are all behind this movement that's happening in Canada. So the rubber's starting to hit the road. So it's really that simple, Sarah, and everyone on here. You know, it's if we had this conversation that we should have had with our parents and our grandparents before this, of what law actually means and the rights that we actually have. Remember, when someone acts in a role, and I mean, no, I'm not trying to knock anyone that's in policing or doctors or whatever. When you're acting in any role other than a man or a woman, you have duties and obligations that you have to fulfill by the society or the job description that you're in. Your duties and obligations do never, never, never trump the rights of a man or a woman. It's that simple. So as a result of all this, because we've never had these foundational truths brought to us of what's actually happening, as you know, when you go to my website, learning about the trespass that happens when we're born, people don't understand the difference between legal and lawful. And they need to understand that you never, ever, ever, a man or woman never uses a lawyer. They don't need to, because if you're accessing your public courthouse correctly as a man or a woman, you are walking in there carrying the law with you, right? It trumps the constitutions, and that's the same stuff stick that's going on in Canada here. People are looking for constitutions, words on a piece of paper to somehow prove that they have these rights. You have the rights the minute that you take your first breath in this world that are unalienable. You don't have all these papers and constitutions and stuff stuck to you. These are things that happened a long time ago when all these battles were going on in our world and people were fighting. They said, hey, we're going to put this out publicly. And that's why I think the United States is the greatest country in the world, because of the Bill of Rights, because of your constitution that you have. It's unlike anything else. But as everyone's alluding to here, which is truth, it's being completely undermined right now in the world. And that's why we need to get back to restoring our public courthouses. If I had a 100 or 200 people like Sheriff Mac here, which I'm working on here in Canada, once I get them, it's very simple for us to access that public courthouse collectively together. And we basically move these claims in courts forward with bringing these truths forward and get this bar out of the way with the rules of civil procedure. Because once that happens, it's game on, Sarah.
That's great. I think that's what Terry is getting at with his local work that he wants to do. Because he's been talking to me for a couple months. He's really passionate. And you're going to have to explain it, Terry, what you're actually doing it about working with sheriffs and common law and getting our rights back, because we're seeing an erosion everywhere, whether it's we're talking about health. And I'm so concerned about the health right now, because that's what they're using to take our rights away. You know, whether it's the gun laws, which we cannot let the gun laws go, otherwise every other right's gone. We're watching freedom of speech, which I got nailed on. Everybody knows how badly I've been fighting that. So Terry, what do you mean by doing it at the local level? Because I think, you know, everyone talks the local level, but what can we do locally, and what are you trying to do locally so that all of these aspects that we're talking about today can start to come to fruition? I know it's already started, but can really take it hold.
Yes. Thank you, Sarah, for inviting me onto the panel. And I'd like to say it's great to meet Dr. Joe and Richard Mack personally. Hello to both of you.
Thank you.
And yes.
Hello to you.
So, and Chris, of course, Christopher and I spoke just before Christmas, and hopefully this will be a continuation of our relationship. So, well, really, from my perspective is, so I'm what you would call an armchair warrior. I just read absolutely everybody. I spend 4 to 6 hours a day. I will listen to everyone from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to Dolores Cahill to Catherine Austin Fitz, Joseph P. Farrell, all of you. I listen. I'm dedicated to you, Sarah. And what I'm now finding is that we basically have all the information in our hands. We know how corrupt these institutions are, right? So what are the solutions? So for example, we look at Rocco Galati. Rocco Galati presented a case to the Supreme Court of Canada. It took 12 years. It was called the Comers case. He went up against the Canadian Parliament, government, to try to get the Bank of Canada to start issuing us our money, to be in control of our monetary policies again. And after 12 years, all that time and all that money, he had it slammed in his face. Now, look at the Supreme Court in the United States. They just slammed the door on the face of the people when it was obvious to, what, at least 80 million voters that the election was fraudulent. And yet the Supreme Court just said, oh, well, too bad. And it's so right there to me. So the highest courts in our land are not listening to us anymore. So other examples are, if I've gone to the freedom rallies in Toronto, which have been going on now well over 50 weeks down in Toronto. And essentially, if you bring up the our Constitution, Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, they look at you like you are an idiot, like you're a fool. It's like, so all our institutions, and particularly our legal system, is just, they have completely shut themselves off to us, and they are literally laughing at us. However, who gets the last laugh? So about a year ago, you will remember, Sarah, I came across Sheriff Richard Mack, and I immediately went, yes. Why did Sheriff Mack make sense to me? And why was that such a great, even though I'm Canadian? So I'm looking at the US. So like a lot of outside observers looking at the US, because even though here in Canada, we do have our rights and freedoms and we are free people, we just look at it in a different way. That in the US, with your Bill of Rights and your Constitution, it is bred in your bone, and you have already fought off successfully, can be argued, you're refighting the same battle, the tyrants and the elites. So a lot of people, you know, have always respected the US, but what really got me, and I think you got it too when I first sent you that email there early last year, why Sheriff Mack, is because, think of it, Sheriff Mack may correct me here, but I believe it's 3,142 counties in the US, okay? All of which, there's only a few, as Sheriff Mack mentioned, I guess it's Connecticut, who got rid of the county sheriffs. Oh, you got to go, hey, why did they do that? I think that's an obvious one. I think Alaska does not have county sheriffs.
Yeah.
However, so what is the power of that particular, the sheriff's institution? What's that power? Well, 3,142 counties. You've got small pockets of powerful pieces of geography that are being secured at the border by an elected sheriff with an oath to the Constitution. So the good sheriff is getting more and more sheriffs of counties to understand their constitutional obligations. And as more and more sheriffs build, you get more and more counties. Those counties are surrounding more and more of the problem areas. I believe the problem areas are more cities. You see a great bifurcation between the attitude of somebody who's an urban dweller and somebody who's a small town and a rural. So as the sheriff moves out and he gets more of these sheriffs to understand what their job really is, and now what he's has happening, I am a member of CSPOA, is he has Jimmy Schwimmel, Jared, for example, and what they're doing is they're filling in the posses. So in each of these counties now, as a sheriff reaches out and gets more and more sheriffs, their system is now filling in the posse, which is county residents, and your residents are your people, like your Scott Jenkins and your Dr. Sherry Tenpennies and your Lynn Woods and your Sidney Powells. So as more and more fill in as the sheriff's county posse, it examples for other counties and what they can do. So I, as a Canadian, am looking and going, wow, and as Christopher brought up, wow, wouldn't it be nice if we had elected sheriffs and we had small counties? Because the key is you've got to start small, because we all know the craziness that's going on in the large picture. We see Ole Damgaard said it great the other day. He says, you cannot consider Bill Gates anything but a psychopath, including his wife, Melinda. These people are psychopaths. And I would almost tend to say, I think Dr. Fauci, if he isn't, I'll tell you, he's on a border, because these people just don't care about us. They don't care. They're slamming the doors in our faces. They've shut down here in Canada. They've shut down our parliaments. They've shut down. We can't go to an MPP, which is our member of provincial parliament. We cannot go to their office to talk to our so-called representative. It's all shut down. The courts are basically all shut down. They're only getting trickles here because they're doing it all, you know, due to COVID. They're only doing it by Zoom calls, etc. So I am looking at, and Christopher's, he's just doing such a great job because he's moving this along. I've also sent out an email to Amina Motala, maybe that she could do a roundtable such as this, but our Canadian version of it, right? So how can we do here in Canada what Sheriff Mack and his CSPO a sheriffs and their posses are starting to do there, to get down to back to what Christopher said? Because I'll tell you, there's got to be one place that we have to start, and that's getting our courthouses back, because they are not allowing us access to our own courts in order that we can go, this is wrong, and we're going to tell you it's wrong. We want a jury of our peers, or we want a common law jurist saying it's wrong, so that we can then go to our government and say, Trudeau, we can say Ford, we can say Mayor John Tory, you are wrong. And in fact, we believe, fill that in. So from my perspective, it is doing a Canadian version, because look, the one thing we have the longest friendly unmanned border in the world, the Canadians and the Americans, and I want to keep it that way. So what would I like to do? Well, we don't have sheriffs here in Canada, but I'll tell you, and Christopher's already started it, thank you for filling me in on this, we could have a Constitutional Peace Officers Association. But what do we in Canada do that's equivalent of the powerful situation that Sheriff Mack and his group of patriots have? Because they can start at a county level, they can start small, they can start local. Here in Canada, you go from one end of Canada to the other. We don't have those borders cut off. Everything is, I think the term would be homogenous, I guess, right? All our laws are all the same from in all across provinces right up to the territories. So that's what I would like to do, because if there's one thing that I have now noticed this year is starting to happen, is people are going, okay, we've got all the information. We know all the institutions are corrupt. How do we solve these problems? What are our solutions? So I'm looking at a Canadian, finding a Canadian, which again, Christopher started, the Canadian version of what Sheriff Mack and his group is doing, because the COVID-19 and these vaccines, I'll tell you, they're coming at us, and the only place we can stop it is in courts. But we haven't taken control of our courts in a way that we can go get that vaccine away from me and my children. Ain't happening.